the Gospel of John, looking for chapter 17, we got all the way through verse 10. Jesus is praying. This is a chapter that we like to call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is praying. And I'm telling you, God hears the prayers of His Son. I asked you last time we got together a few times, do you believe that God answers the prayers of Jesus? Most of you said, yes, I believe that. Okay, well, I'm going to ask you again today in a moment, so hold that thought. Verse 11, Jesus continues His prayer to the Father, and He says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee. Lord, Father God, I'm coming home. I'm leaving. I'm going to go to the cross, shed my blood. I'm going to die, be buried. 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. A few days after that, I am coming home. I'm coming to You. That's my home." That's what Jesus is praying now. And He goes on and says, "Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are one." I'm coming home, Jesus says. I'm going back to where I belong. That's home. Right to the right hand of the Father. The right hand represents the authority and the power. He's going to sit at the right hand of God. "I'm no more in the world. I'm coming back to You, Father. But they're going to stay here." Isn't that what He says? "Holy Father, keep through Your own name those whom You have given Me." Now, Jesus says, "I'm asking You, Father God, Holy Father, to keep them, those that You've given Me." Let me ask you a question. And this is to you personally. Are you a Christian? Have you asked Jesus into your heart, given your whole life to Him? If you say yes, then God has given you to Jesus. And what did He just pray? "Keep those that You have given to Me, that they may be one as We are one." What's He saying? I'll tell you, He's praying, "Take care of them, Father." I ask you again now, do you believe that God answers the prayers of His Son, Jesus Christ? Do you really? He just prayed, "Father, I ask that You keep them, those that You have given to Me, those that are Mine. I ask that You keep them." How should you keep them? Well, let me read the verse to you again. "Holy Father," this is the second part of verse 11, "keep through Thine own name." How is God going to keep me? I'm His. I belong to Jesus. And so Jesus says, "Father God, keep him, keep Bob, through Your name." Wow. In those days, when Jesus prayed, in those days, and even today, not so much maybe right now, but certainly earlier on in my life, in those days and in our days today, your name was who you really were. Not so much anymore. It's falling apart. But your name was really who you really were. Your reputation was known by your name. There was that time when you could give your word and say, shake on it, and there it was an agreement. Your reputation. You know, there were candidates that ran for public office when I was young, and I recall listening to people talk about them, and people would say, "That woman, that man is a very honest individual. I know them personally, and I'm telling you, they are honest." Their reputation went with their name. Your name carries a reputation with it now. Mine does. I've heard. Whew. God's name carries a reputation with it also. When we were young, my brothers and I, my sister, she was nice all the time. Girls don't know. But you know, my brothers and I, we were a little bit not so nice at times. And when we were going to go to another family's home, or possibly maybe my dad had something going at work and the family would come to a dinner or whatever, my dad would take us boys. He didn't have to my sister. I don't know why. But he would take us boys and he'd say, "Now, boys, you know what I expect from you. You're my sons. You're Davises. And I expect you to live up to that name. I expect you to do the things that are right. If you don't, I'll kill you." In love. They used to kill children back then. They don't anymore. He killed me 3 times. Do you remember those days, any of you? Where your name, your family name, the reputation of the family's name. I remember some girls that were friends of mine. Neat girls. I felt jealous because right in the middle of school, a couple of them got to go on vacation to Australia for months. I was too ignorant then to understand what was going on. But it was to protect the family name from the troubles that they had gotten into. The name carries a reputation. Now, if God's going to keep me through His name, how's He going to keep me? God's name, that's who He is. That's His reputation. He's going to keep you. Jesus says, "Holy Father, keep them through your name." Ooh. "That they may be one as we are one." He's talking about unity. Now, he is not suggesting that everybody go to the same church. I don't think we could fit. But that all Christians everywhere should love one another and should realize that we, all Christians everywhere, are part of the same body. When I was born again, I was about 20, 21 years old on the island of Guam. I had been raised my entire life as a Roman Catholic, so I knew nothing else. So once I got born again, I went back to the barracks, and there were a couple of guys who really took me under their wing. I mean, these were the guys that were witnessing to me. You guys probably have people witnessing to you. They're real polite. Man, God had sent to me Peter and Paul. These guys would not let up. I mean, we'd be shining our shoes for inspection, and one of them would look to the other, wouldn't they? And they'd both look at each other and then look at me, and they'd spit, shining their boots, and they'd go, "What do you think about the blood of Jesus Christ?" The other one would say, "Man, that's what saved my life, you know, the blood of Jesus." And they'd look at me to make sure I'm listening. I'm going, "You know, Jesus, He's everything to me." And they'd say, "Let's sing it together." And I have no, and there you go, "In His stars, His handiwork, I see." And I'm going, I mean, He couldn't have sent me a couple of wimps. He had to send Peter and Paul. And so I get saved there at this Billy Graham crusade. And the next Sunday, they say, "Bob, you got to go to church with us, man. You got to go." I say, "I don't know." "You're going." And they hear, remember, these are evangelists. They take me to church, and it's this little bitty church outside of the capital of Agana, Guam, just right outside. And it's a tiny little thing. The pastor's in his 70s. I'm right at 21, just barely made it to 21 by this point because of the life I had lived. And there's a Baptist church. I didn't know how to be Baptist. I don't know how you do that. I was raised completely different. The songs they sang and the way they dressed and the things that they did. And I'm lost here. I'm born again, but I'm clueless. You know, baby Christians ask funny questions. But when you're a baby, ask them. They don't seem funny to you and me. I was a baby. So I said to the pastor, "I don't know anything. You know everything. You're in your 70s. You're about to die anyway." He's old, man. When you're 20, that guy's 70-some years old. And he is from, let me say it like he did, he is from Mississippi. I don't think there are as many eyes in his as there were in mine. I said, "Where?" He's in Mississippi. "Gotcha." He's from down south. And so I said to him, just being a kid, I said, "What religion was Jesus?" That was a legitimate question for me. He smiled really big and he said, "Well, you just tell me who baptized him." I said, "John the Baptist." He goes, so that was fine. I was fine with that. All right, cool, man. I'm a Baptist now. Because Jesus was, you know.
I didn't know. What do you know? And so years later, I was all on my own, and I had gotten out of professional music, and I was walking. I made about a 5-mile walk hike in Colorado Springs there. If you've never heard the testimony tape, you can get that and kind of see how I got to Colorado. But anyway, I was walked about 5 miles, came to a church, big church, and I really felt the Lord spoke my heart. This is the one I want you to attend. So I walked in. It was Presbyterian. I don't know how to be Presbyterian. I can figure out how to be Baptist, sort of, you know. I got the Catholics down, but this Presbyterian, these guys, they got robes, dude, and things, you know. And they're different. And so I walked in there, and I got long hair and blue jeans, and I'm sweaty. 5 miles, you'll do the same, you know. And I said, I'm here to go to church. They said, you missed it. I was sort of glad because they were in 3-piece suits, and they couldn't bend. They looked like Marines to me, mostly. I don't know how you can wear a suit and not crease the thing, but Marines and Presbyterians, they do it. You got to give them that. So I went next door to the singles group because I missed church, so I went to that, and it's all history from there. But so I was there at that church for years. And what's cool was after a while, then I was going to Calvary, playing music there, and going to the Presbyterian church and playing music there. And I'm telling you what, you had to know a lot of chords because there was some different kind of music going on those days. You know something, though? They're all those that are truly born again. We are one with them. Pentecostals need more room than others. They are saved. You just got to give them a lot of room and a lot of paper towels. But those that are truly born again, they are saved. They will be there in heaven. They'll have a little space, some of them, but you know. And you have to be really, really quiet in the Lutheran section because they think they're the only ones there. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I hadn't picked on the Lutherans yet because I got the Presbyterian belt. You know. Somebody told me once you have to be quiet in the Calvary Chapel section up in heaven because they'll think they're the only ones there. But you and I know we'll be the only ones there. Just kidding. Just kidding. That they may be one. Isn't that what he says? As we are one. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it be possible, because sometimes it's not. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceable with all men. Or live at peace with all men. If it be possible. I'm telling you, we should get along. But you have seen it, so have I. There are some who refuse to live at peace with you. They won't fellowship with you. Doesn't matter. They don't like you or there's something about you. Now, there are some things that you and I would disagree with. I've got really good friends that are Baptist ministers. We don't agree on certain issues, but we agree on the basics. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Salvation is by grace through faith. So we can worship together. We can praise together. We can do those things, but there are some who just refuse. So, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live at peace with all people. Live peaceable with all men. So, make sure that if there's a problem, you and I just need to pray about it. Make sure the problem isn't with me. We'll just leave it with them. Let's make sure that we are trying to live at peace with others. Because Jesus prayed. He says, now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them. You know, you go back and read through the Gospels. Jesus kept those guys. He kept them. And sometimes they would get a little off center, off course. And Jesus would say nice little things like, get behind me, Satan, when Peter would come up with certain things. And you think, whoa. No, he loved them, but he kept them. He made sure that at all times the direction they were going in was the direction of God's word and the direction of God's will. He kept them. Now he's saying, Father, you keep them. God prayed for me, Jesus. All of us that belong to Jesus. Father, keep them. How do you think God's going to keep me? I think he's going to do okay. I think he can. He's kept you until this point, up to today, hasn't he? You know, I was born again. That was 1973. He has kept me to this day. And I've seen others who haven't made it this far. And you say, what happened to them? Watch.
While I was with them in the world, verse 12, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You see, I have lost none that were mine. There is one that was lost, but he was never mine. Judas was never a believer. Not ever. Before Jesus prays this, earlier on, he says to the 12, he says, haven't I chosen all of you? And one of you is a demon. Man, I don't know. How would that make you feel? There's 12 of us and Jesus. We're standing there and Jesus goes, you know, I've chosen every one of you and one of you is a demon. You know what I'd have done? And I figured it was Thomas. Don't touch me. I'd never think it was me. I'd always figure, you know, that's how we operate. Whoa. What did he mean? One of you is a demon. One was never his. Not ever. And you and I have something to do today. We need to make our calling and our election sure. You need to be sure. That's not saying that you're not a Christian. What it's saying is, are you sure? Can you remember a time? I'm not asking you to remember the moment, exactly what time it was. Maybe you might not even remember the date of the day. But there must be a time that you remember giving your life to the Lord, asking Jesus to come into your heart at some time. Now, some people say, well, I did that when I was 3 and I don't remember it. Okay, but there needs to be a time when you recall you saying, I'm yours. Even if it was a simple rededication. That you say, I belong to Jesus. I am my beloved's and he is mine. I know that my Redeemer lives. I am his. He has redeemed me. We need to be sure because too many are like Judas. Our problem is we try to discern who they are. And I'm telling you, the Bible clearly says you and I cannot know who they are. No one knew who Jesus or Judas was. No one. No one dreamed that it was he or that it was him. Because you and I cannot see the hearts and God can. So we can fool ourselves. We can fool one another, but we cannot fool him. Jesus says, I have lost none that were mine. But the one that wasn't mine, the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. I have seen others go away. They just walk away. And today they were in ministry and you say, what are you doing? And they say, I don't believe in God. I'm not a Christian. And people say, well, they lost their salvation. Hey, could it be that I assumed they really were just like Jews and they never were? Isn't that what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7? Yeah, check it out. Take a look. So, because I can't tell your heart, I am told not to judge you. So when you tell me you're a Christian, I go, praise God. Then if you're out there cursing and spitting, and then I can walk up and say, excuse me, you don't sound like one. I didn't judge. I didn't say you are one or not. I just said, you're not talking like one. Watch that. You're not acting like one. We are to encourage one another, to exhort one another to walk in these things. But understand, Jesus says, Father, you keep them. I've kept them. Keep those that you've given to me. Through your name. Now, God's name is his reputation. I believe God will keep you. Now, you need to walk with him. In verse 13, now I come to you. He's coming home. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Hey, now I'm coming home, Father. He's going to sit at the right hand of God. And Jesus is right now, in his resurrected body, sitting there at the throne, at the right hand of God. He says, I'm speaking these things in the world. I'm saying these things here as I pray before I come back to you, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. You don't just want joy, Christian. I don't just want joy. The world right now is trying to find happiness and joy. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus says, my joy fulfilled in them. You turn the word around if you understand what fulfilled means. It means literally filled full. My joy. Let them be filled full with my joy. That's why Nehemiah would say to the people, don't be depressed. Sing and praise because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Jesus says, my joy filled full. You be filled full. That's what Jesus prays. Hey, does God answer Jesus' prayers? Then you and I should be filled full with the joy that is Jesus. Wow. And he says, I have given them thy word. I pray for myself. I'd like to ask you to pray for me too. I pray for myself that when I'm finished, Jesus said earlier, I finished my work. Remember that? And he prayed, I'm coming back to you. I pray when I have finished here, whenever that will be, whether it's soon or whether it's another year away or two, whatever it is, I pray that I can honestly say before the Lord God, I have given them your word. Just exactly as Jesus prayed, I've given them your word. I want to be able to pray and say that same thing. Father, I've given them your word. So many people don't want that anymore. I don't want to say when I get there, I have given them some great opportunities. They had plenty of time to serve. Although, that's okay. I don't want to say, I've given them a great feeling. Man, they just left really high on God. That's okay. I don't want to say, I have given them a really good sports program. Christian sports, of course. I don't want to say, I gave them lots of good music, man. They came to North Country because they really like the praise. Speaking of that, you know, Oh Victory is kind of a country kind of song. And I get people saying, I hate country. Don't tell me we're doing that this morning. And then I walk off going, oh man, I forgot he doesn't like that. Someone comes up and gives me a hug and says, boy, I'm glad we're doing this because I was about to leave this church because we don't do enough gospel. And I walk away going, I don't know what to do now. I'm playing another key. I come to North Country for the worship. You know, I come to North Country because I love that lobby. That is such a nice lobby. You can sign up to work with the kids. You can get tapes there. You can fellowship. I really like the fellowship hall. I kind of like that bookstore. And I think when I am finished, I want to be able to say from my heart, of course, God will know, I have given them your word. I know some of you would sure like to hear something else every once in a while besides the Bible. But Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You are growing stronger just by simply us reading verse by verse together. It is building you up. The Spirit of God is beginning to teach you. It's beginning to make sense, even at home. You have to admit it to me. I know. It starts to make sense. The Spirit begins to teach you. It's God's Word. And because it's God's Word, I have given them thy word, verse 14, and the world has hated them. Because they are not of the world, just like I am not of the world. The world will hate you. We've been told that already. The world hates you because you are not of the world. But you can ask the question, why does the world hate me? Because you and I expose the world to itself, and the world doesn't like what it sees.
Jesus is the light of the world. You shine the light on what people are doing, and they do not like you. They hate you. They're telling jokes that they shouldn't tell. You're there and you say, excuse me, guys, I'm just going to head over here. Oh, holier than thou. Immediately it's a slap in their face because they are convicted. They know they shouldn't be doing that, and the world loves darkness rather than light. And so it's going to hate you. We start talking about how alcohol will really destroy your life. And the people that love to drink say, man, I'm not coming to your church. All you ever talk about is, hey, you're convicted. Just listen to God. He'll help you deal with this. We say homosexuality is a sin. You say you're picking on people and you should love them. If you didn't love them, you'd let them go on. If you didn't love your children, you would just say, do what you want with who you want. I don't care where you want, in how I want. I just want. You don't do that to your kids. You love them. So you say no. And if you're a good parent, it's usually one of the first few words your children know. They learn no and mine. Those are easy to say and easy to understand. We used to have a puppy that we're trying to teach, and then you got the little baby, of course, and you're just talking to this puppy all the time, talking to the puppy like it's a baby. You use short sentences, you know, and you sit the baby in the high chair and you're ready to eat your food, and out of the baby's mouth comes, get down. Where did that come from? We don't want to say dad or mama, get down, because you think, because we're saying the puppy, get down. Stay. Little baby's going, stay, get down. And you're thinking, oh, when my kid goes to school, he's going to be kicked out. Say to the teacher, get down. Jesus is the light of the world. Men love darkness rather than light. They will hate you because you and I should be walking in the light. If you walk in the light, I'm going to warn you something. People will see what's wrong in themselves, and they won't like you. They'll call you names. They'll attack you for it. Jesus says they'll hate you. And then he says something that surprises me. It doesn't surprise me, but when I first read it, it surprised me. Wait a minute. This is Jesus praying to the Father. I ask you again, does God answer the prayers of Jesus? Does he? Listen to this prayer. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Oh, man. But that you should keep them from the evil one. You know, Jesus could have said, Lord, I'm leaving. I'm going. Let's just take them all. Everyone is mine. Of course, you and I wouldn't have been there. We'd have been out of luck. But hey. Do you think God would have answered that prayer? Sure he would have. What did Jesus say? Lord, Father, God, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Keep them here. Just protect them from the evil one, literally. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But they're in it. I want you to leave them here. Oh, man. He says, I am not asking you, Father, to remove them from the danger. I'm not asking you to remove them from the persecution and the trials that they're going to go through. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking that you would keep them through it all and keep them and protect them from the evil one. Hey, you know something? God is glorified by you being here. You go, man, you haven't walked with me for a week. I'm the worst he's got. No, salvation is by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No, you see, God is glorified by leaving me here. Think about that. He's glorified by leaving you here. He could have saved me in 73 and taken me out of here. No, gone to heaven where I could just sweep and shovel and do whatever they do there. Instead, he left you here. He's left you here. You've been saved now for a month, 2 months, 6 years, 20 years, 40 years, 50, maybe longer. And he's left you here. And it glorifies him to leave us here. It brings glory to God and honor. And even the angels, the Bible says, marvel at us. Because God saves me and the angels are going, you got to be kidding. That one? And God says, watch. And then God will use that one. And the angels just break into praise.
Who'd have thought it? And I mean, they worship God. They worship him and they sing. Why are you laughing? I'm talking about you. No. And they're just, the angels just are marveled and they praise God and they say, holy, holy God Almighty. And the angels marvel at what he does with us. We do too. We're made of dirt. And he still gets amazing things accomplished with us. Amazingly, the work that God does with us. It brings God glory. Jesus said, I'm not asking you to take them out of all the trials and the trouble. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trials. You will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. It's all right. Cheer up. Let your heart be glad. And he asks that God would protect us from, literally, in the original language, the evil one. Who is the evil one? No, not in Iraq. I mean, who's the evil one? The devil. Why would Jesus bring this up? Well, he's talking about the world. Lead them in the world, but protect them from the evil one. What does that mean? Hey, you may be shocked to learn that the devil is the head or the ruler right now over the world system. All these people who protested for peace. I see two police officers were beaten and needed to go have medical treatment. These are people who are protesting violence. You got to think now. I mean, and I'm telling you, although there were hundreds of thousands, some would say even millions throughout the weekend, many of those were not Christians. And they proved it by hurting one another, hurting themselves, hurting other people in the name of peace. I mean, if it weren't so sad, we would laugh out loud. Proverbs chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2 is what I want. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? God holds them in derision. So in the name of peace, you burn flags and set people on fire too. And you say you're for peace. If you're for peace, I think while everybody else is picketing, you'd be out buying them a Coke. Passing out white kittens. Here, kiss this. Don't let the world fool you. This is a trick of the devil. More violence took place the last few days than has taken place in quite a while. In the name of peace, of course. Because we don't want violence. And we'll kill you to prove it. We'll beat your face in. Just to show you how serious about peace we are. That is stupid. With a capital S. You know that, don't you? I hope you're not fooled by all this. Because there will be no peace. Mark the words of God. No peace until the Prince of Peace comes. There will be wars and rumors of wars, and there will be no peace because the world has rejected the Prince of Peace. Oh, he's coming back. We're in a sad situation. Well, let's go on. Verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. To sanctify means to set apart for a specific use or a special use. Jesus prays to the Father. Does God answer Jesus' prayers? Yes. Jesus prayed, for those that are mine, sanctify them. Set them apart specially for a specific purpose or use. God has a purpose for you here. That's why you're still here. You say, I don't know much and I'm kind of lousy at this. Hey, God loves you and has a purpose. We'll see that and say, has a purpose for you and I to be here. We're not finished. When we're finished, we'll go home. But until then, there is a reason that I'm here and I need to keep on with Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sanctify them through thy truth. Now, many Christians, we toss about these terms, justify, sanctify, and they sometimes interchange them. To justify means to clear from every charge of guilt. It means to declare you
or me or whoever completely innocent. So you and I say, I have been justified. Jesus shed his blood on the cross, died for my sins. I, by faith, said, I want you, Lord. I thank you. And he washes my sins away. And so I am completely cleared of all charges. All my sins are gone. The way I describe it, and you've heard me say this, I'm justified, meaning just as if I'd never sinned. That's justify. Now, sanctify is different. Once I'm justified, he sanctifies me. That means he places me in a special place for a special use. Sets me apart for a special use. How does he do it? How does he sanctify you? He justified me by shedding his blood, dying on the cross, and I simply said, yes, Lord. How does he sanctify me, which is a daily process? How does he do it? Let's read the Bible. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Remember, I want to be able to say, I gave them your word. That's what Jesus said. That's what he told us to do. You want to be able to say to the people you work with, to the people you go to school with, to the people you're around, you want to be able to say to the Lord, I gave them your word. Sanctify them through thy truth. I'm his. The them is those that belongs to me, Jesus says. Thy word is truth. Listen to this, Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In American, God's word is as good as his name. Keep them, we learned earlier, through thy name. Now we learn that God's word is as good as his name. When I was young, probably you too, people would say, that man is as good as his word. If he gives you his word, you can count on it. You know what God says? My word is as good as my name. Whatever I say, you trust me in it. It's as good as my name. God's reputation stands behind every word that you have here. You think God will go back on his word? Do you think he'll forget a part of it? Do you think he'll let you have a part that is messed up? Some people say, oh yeah, I'm afraid. Well, he's saying, you can trust God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God says himself, what I say is as good as my name. You can trust every single thing I say because his name is above every name. He is almighty. Listen. As you read your Bible, now you're born again. Those of you that are truly Christians, I'm talking to you. You're justified. You're innocent. Your sins are gone. Now, as you read your Bible, you begin to know the Lord. You're set aside. You're sanctified on a daily basis for a specific use. As you start to read your Bible, you're going to find things going on in your life like this. People say, I was reading my Bible, and you know, the Lord is showing me I need to, my language needs to clean up. Really? Yeah, the Lord's just been showing me that as I've been reading through Scripture. I'm seeing that. What's happened? God is sanctified. And now he's cleansed, his sins are forgiven, but now God is beginning to set them apart separate for a specific purpose. What is your purpose? Esther. She became queen. I think there's nothing wrong with girls being pretty. I have no problem with that. I think they should be. I think that's how God built them. Esther became queen. How did she become queen? She won a beauty contest. If you've never read the book of Esther, go back and read through it. It's short. She won a beauty contest. And she became queen. She was the prettiest. Maybe because when they asked her questions, she said things like, I'd like to either be a mother or a brain surgeon. And the king thought, whoa, that's the one. She's a beauty and maybe she could do surgery. I don't know. You know, a beauty queen. And Esther moves into the palace. She's the queen. And the edict goes forth. I'm kind of paraphrasing. And the edict goes forth to kill the Jews, all of them. And they weren't allowed to defend themselves, to kill the Jews. Mordecai comes to his niece, Esther, says, "You're the queen. We're all going to be killed if you don't do something." She says, "I can't do anything. The queen is not allowed into the king's presence unless he calls for her. If he doesn't call for her and she shows up, she'll be put to death. He'll cut her head off. Even the queen." Mordecai says, "I'm not taking no for an answer. Our lives are on the line here. And don't you fool yourself, Esther. If you don't do something now, God will do something in another way. And you will lose your head because of this." And Esther said, "I just don't know. That would be foolish to go before the king." And he said it. And here it comes, everybody. How do you know that you were not called for such a time as this? How do you know that this is the one thing that God has set you aside for, you personally, to save all the Jews in the area? Hey, same thing. You, Christian, you start reading your Bible. You're sanctified on a daily basis. You don't know what he's got set up for you. But I'm telling you, for every one of us, there is an assignment. You need to read your Bible. You need to know it. And the world is so turned from it. And the world is in such trouble. You need to know now more than ever before what God has to say, how God feels about it, what God thinks. Because a lot of Christians, supposed Christians, are out there making noises that aren't quite scriptural. As you're watching this, Iraq, should we not? North Korea, should we not? All the things that are going on. And you're hearing Christians start to speak up. And some of the things they're saying are not according to the Bible. Wouldn't you want to know? Just because that guy or that girl's a multimillionaire and they wear nice clothes and they preach at church, wouldn't you want to know what God's word has to say about this? Boy, it's time. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Are you reading your Bible? You say, "Where do I start?" Well, if you haven't started, now's a good time. Start in the Gospel of John. Read through. You don't have to finish it in a year. There is no special reward for a year Bible reading. You read through and let God teach you. You don't have to finish it in 5 years. If you don't have a 5-year plan, that's all right. Read through. Just start reading through and watch what God will do in your own heart, in your own life. Verse 18 says, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." As you sent me, now God sent Jesus Christ to this planet. And he came here with a specific purpose, to do God's will, to die on the cross. There at Calvary, for my sins, for your sins, God sent Jesus. Jesus now turns around and says, "Those that you've given to me, just like you sent me, I have sent them." You know what? God sent us, didn't he? Hasn't he sent us into the whole world? He said, you go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every living creature, teaching them to obey the commandments that I've given to you. In other words, I'm obeying them and I'm teaching others to obey them. You're obeying them and you're telling others. And we spread that word. And you notice all Christians don't live in Africa. All Christians do not live in Russia. All Christians don't live in America. God has spread us out because he said, go to the whole world. There are even some Christians in southern Idaho. Few. He says, "If you sent me into the world, even so I have sent them." We got a job to do. We need to shine. We need to witness. Sometimes you'll get to use words. Sometimes they'll just have to see the light that you're shining, that you're reflecting Jesus Christ. And for their sakes, Jesus says, "I sanctify myself." He is set aside for a specific purpose. He's going to that cross. And he will go back to the Father. We move on to verse 20. "Neither pray I for these alone." Finally, we get to it. "I am not only praying for these, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." How many of us believe on Jesus Christ through the words we got from the disciples? All of us. All of us. Jesus told them. They told people. People told people. Finally, somebody told me. Finally, somebody told you, we believe through their word. So Jesus says, I'm not praying for these, but for all those that are mine. All those that will believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Then yes, he's praying for you right here. He hasn't forgotten you. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you have sent me. That they may be one. Remember, we're born again. As soon as you and I are born again, we are placed into the body of Jesus Christ. We become part of the bride. Doesn't matter where we live, what part of fellowship we're with. If we're truly born again, we are a part of the church. You can, even though you've never met them. You can go over to the other side of this planet and find a Christian, and you can immediately know their brothers and sisters. You can hug them and pray with them and just know. You're one. You just know it. It just happens. And he goes on. The glory, verse 22, which you gave me, I have given to them. Ooh, that's big. That they may be one, even as we are one. Jesus was glorified. God in human flesh. So that glory you gave to me, I've given it to them. What does he mean? Well, right now people look at us and we aren't real impressive necessarily, are we? But someday, someday, Jesus will return and we will return with him. And he has made you, Christian, me, Christian, all of us as Christians, a kingdom of priests. And we will stand with him in his glory. And we will rule and reign with him in all his glory because we are his. That glory becomes ours as well. Wow. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be made complete or mature in one. This is verse 23. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you have loved, or loved them as you have loved me. The world needs to know that God the Father sent the Son, Jesus Christ. That's our job. We are to shine. We are to spread the gospel. We are to share our faith with a world that is in desperate need of peace, in desperate need of joy. The world is in a desperate need of a lot of things. And you and I are the ambassadors to tell the world there is good news. In spite of all that you see, there is good news. There is hope. And Jesus says something that you and I would never dare say unless he said it first. Here in verse 23. I and them, you and me, that they may be made complete in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and you have loved them. Those are those that belong to me. As you have loved me. Think about it. Jesus just said about you, Christian, that God loves you just like he loves Jesus. You have loved them just as you have loved me. Do you think God loves Jesus? I mean, do you? I think he does. And he just said, you better sit down, that God loves me like he loves Jesus. Ooh, even worse or better, depending on how you look at it. He loves you like he loves Jesus. Well, I wouldn't dare say that if Jesus hadn't said it in his prayer. That's a powerful statement. How much does God love you? Just as he loves his only begotten son. Hey, that's a lot. God loved Jesus so much. Here's where I got you. He loved Jesus so much that he answered every one of his prayers. Now God, Jesus, the Son of God, says that God loves you the same way. That means God will answer every prayer. I didn't say he would say yes to every prayer. I said God would answer every prayer. God loves you so much if you only could understand that love. God loves you. He wants you to be all right. You're complaining that you're not all right, and you're looking for every place else to figure out how to get through this. And God says, come to me. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You come to me. I'll protect you. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long, or how long I have longed to gather you all together just to take care of you, just like a hen wants to take care of her little chicks. But you won't let me. God wants to do miracles in your life. He wants to change you. He wants to use you. He has set you aside and has a special purpose for you, and he wants to do it, and he's just simply waiting for you to simply come on. Get with him. He loves you just as he loves Jesus. So I can sing with any three-year-old in solid faith, Jesus loves me, this I know. How can I sing it in faith? Because everything's coming up roses? No. Because everything's just great. My physical body is in perfect health, and my wallet is fat with money, as we see on the TV. No. Well, then how can I sing in faith, Jesus loves me, this I know? For the Bible tells me so. You have never heard more profound words than when you hear the children sing that song. Jesus says, except you become as these little children, you can in no way enter into the kingdom. To humble myself and say, Father God, you love me. And not even question why. I'm not even going to go there, God. I'm just going to say thank you. The Lord loves you. He loves you. You can trust him. Verse 24, Father, another request. Now I ask you before I read it, do you believe God will answer Jesus' prayers? Okay, watch this. Father, I will. This is what I want, Father God. I want those that you have given to me. Wait, I've been given to him. Are you a Christian? You've been given. We belong to him. Listen to this. I want those that you've given me to be with me where I am. All right? Question. Where's he going? Heaven. Going to sit at the right hand of the Father. He said, I want those that you've given me to be with me where I am. Why? God didn't ask why, but he answers why. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I had the glory before. I've always been your son, and I'm coming back. And I want these that you've given to me, all of them, I want them to see me, to be there with me, and to see me in my glory. Do you think God will answer that prayer? Some Christians don't. Some Christians believe that we'll never see heaven, that we won't be raptured, that Jesus will come down and we'll just rule and reign with him for 1,000 years here. Some Christians believe that we'll be raptured right after the tribulation. We'll meet him in the air and come straight back down. But I believe the Bible teaches clearly we're going to meet him in the air and go back with him to heaven. And in Revelation 4 and 5, we will see him on the throne of the living God at the right hand of God in all his splendor and glory. And we'll fall down and we'll worship, and the angels are going to sing along, and we'll all be able to sing in tune. And it's going to be beautiful. We will see him in his glory. It will be an answer to prayer, to the prayer of John chapter 17. He's coming back to take us so that we can see him. The Father will allow us to see the Son in all his glory on the throne. And then, yes, we will come back with him and see him on the throne there in Jerusalem. But we'll see him in his heavenly kingdom, in the Father's house, sitting on the throne. What a thrill. Oh, verse 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And I have declared or revealed unto them your name. I've shown them you, your name, what you're all about. And I will declare it. Why? That the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them and I in them. He says, I've declared you to them. I've shown you to them. They've seen you. They see, they've heard what you said. They now know. Oh, they've got a lot more to learn, but that's what I've done. He revealed the Father to those that are his. And he says, I want that your love, the love that you love me with, God's love would be in them. God's love in you. You must be born again to have that kind of love in you. For God to take up residence in you. You cannot love that way without God. God's love in you. Now Jesus, that's the end of the prayer, but think about Hebrews 7:25. Although it's the end of this prayer in John 17, Jesus continues to pray. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he, that's Jesus, is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God through him or by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He finished his prayer here. But he continues to pray. He ever liveth to make intercession for you and me. He's praying for us now. Jesus prays for you, those that are his. Now, we talk about grace. And grace is good. That's how we're saved, by grace through faith. We talk about mercy. Mercy is good. We need that daily. We talk about the kindness of God. All of those come from what? They come from the love that is God. God's love. Jesus says that your love would be in them. Every true believer needs to have God's love in his heart. 1 Corinthians 13 says, at the beginning, although I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am just making loud noises, a clanging cymbal. I am nothing. Without love, I'm nothing. You can be kind to others. Many non-Christian organizations show kindness and concern and mercy. But understand, we're talking about the true love, the agape, that comes from God. Jesus says that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them. God's love in our hearts. Now listen, as we get ready to shut this thing down. Here's what we're told in Jude, verse 21. Just a reminder for you and me as believers. In Jude, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That the love of God might be in my heart. Jesus says, in them, those that are mine, that the love of God would be in their hearts. And in Jude, we're commanded, we're told, you keep yourself in that love. And so I would go, how? How do I keep myself? Jesus prayed, God, the Father, keep them. All right, I know it all works together. How? 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Jesus says, keep yourself in that love that God pours into our heart as we spend time in his words, we spend time in prayers, we walk with him as we walk in the light, and that light is reflected and others see God's glory and glorify God. And many come to Jesus because of your witness, even if it wasn't words. There has to be love there. Keep yourself in the love of God. This is the love of God, that you simply keep his commandments. In other words, you and I want to stay in the word and we want to walk in obedience to the Lord. I just want to do his will. I just want to do what God says. How do I know what he says? I stay in my Bible. Are you reading your Bible? Romans 8, the last two verses of that chapter, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, which would include Satan and his demons, nor principalities, there you go, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God will keep you. And you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, need to walk with him. Need to let your lights shine. Need to stay in your Bible, reading every day. Listening to what the Lord's got to say. Read it. Make a point in your life. Not some like little magic talisman, but make a point in your life to daily read God's word. I'm warning you. A lot of lies are going to be pushed your way through all kinds of different media coming up. You will not know what the truth is from a lie unless you know the Word of God and stick with it. Because Jesus says there's coming a time when things will be so convincing. There's coming a person who will be so miraculously powerful, so convincing that if it were possible, even the very elect would be fooled. He said, if it were possible. What makes it not possible? Because only the very elect will stay in the Word. And they will not be fooled when the time comes. It is important to me that when I open my eyes in heaven, close my eyes here and open them in heaven, that I see you there. So that we all know that you're fine. It is important that you take this to heart. Pray about it. Read back through the prayer. See if it really says all this. Check. And let God speak to your hearts. Let's bow our heads.